now, a great story. After President Trump fired FBI Director James Comey in May and Robert Mueller was appointed special counsel on the Russia investigation, the president raised questions about whether Mueller could be impartial.
Well, he's very, very good friends with Comey, which is very bothersome. But he's also, we're going to have to see.
Right-wing Breitbart News picked that up. Their story cited a former assistant FBI director, James Kallstrom, saying Comey and Mueller were BFFs, that it's a massive conflict of interest. And Breitbart also cited Garrett Graff, who wrote a political article titled "What Donald Trump Needs to Know About Bob Mueller and Jim Comey." But Garrett says they got what he thinks wrong. Garrett Graff is also author of The Threat Matrix, Inside Robert Mueller's FBI. He joins us for a look at this relationship. And Garrett, Snopes.com, the myth-busting website, says the claim that these two men are best friends is mostly false. What do you say?
They're not best friends in a social sense. These are two people who have worked incredibly closely together. You know, there were probably periods of time where they were spending more time with each other than they were with their wives in those years right after 9/11.
But also, they were both involved in one of the most incredible stories. Some people may not remember it or be familiar with it. So we want to go back to this interaction between the two men that you couldn't make up. This is 2004, during the George W. Bush administration. John Ashcroft was Attorney General. James Comey was his assistant. Bob Mueller was then head of the FBI. Now, the Bush White House was trying to reauthorize a controversial NSA eavesdropping program. And so first tell us, how did John Ashcroft and James Comey feel about that reauthorization?
So James Comey had come to understand that this NSA domestic surveillance program, known by its codename Stellar Wind, was on shaky constitutional ground. And really, as he got into it, as other Justice Department officials got into it, they really came to believe that it was unconstitutional and needed to be wound down. Mm-hmm. And this put them on a collision course with the Bush White House, and particularly with then Vice President Cheney and his office.
But James Comey knows for sure that his boss, John Ashcroft, does not want to reauthorize this program. Okay, suddenly, Ashcroft is taken severely ill. He's hospitalized. Comey becomes acting attorney general, and he's driving along in his car when what happens?
He's heading home and gets a telephone call from John Ashcroft's hospital room saying that then White House Chief of Staff Andy Card and White House Counsel Alberto Gonzalez are on their way to Ashcroft's bedside to try to get Ashcroft to legally sign to reauthorize this Stellar Wind program.
It was actually Mrs. Ashcroft, right, who said, call James Comey.
Yep. So Jim Comey turns on the lights and siren in his car. He's being driven by a U.S. Marshal at the time. And his first telephone call is to Bob Mueller, the FBI director.
So hold up the story there, because Comey himself got to tell this story in very dramatic Senate testimony about it several years later. He said, first of all, he called his chief of staff, told him to get other senior staff to the hospital as quickly as possible, because the thinking was Ashcroft was so sick. This was severe gallstone pancreatitis that he was probably under the effects of drugs. And who knows what might happen when the Bush officials got to his hospital room. So Comey first calls his chief of staff, and then he relates this.
I hung up, called Director Mueller, with whom I'd been discussing this particular matter, and it had been a great help to me over that week, and told him what was happening. He said, I'll meet you at the hospital right now. Told my security detail that I need to get to George Washington Hospital immediately. They turned on the emergency equipment and drove very quickly to the hospital.
Hey, Garrett, what a scene. You've got these two different people, Mueller, the then FBI director, and Comey, the deputy attorney general, sirens wailing, you know, making their way to the hospital. But people have remarked on this. Why did he call Robert Mueller?
So when I was working on my biography of Bob Mueller, I had someone tell me that if I could figure out why Bob Mueller was in that room, why he was in that telephone call, it would unlock the secret to Bob Mueller, because there was no particular reason why the FBI director should be involved in the Justice Department's conversation with the White House about an NSA program. And I actually had the opportunity in the summer of 2008 to put that question directly to Jim Comey. And I asked him, you know, why did you call Bob Mueller? And he said, Bob Mueller was a figure who was beyond reproach, that he knew that he, Jim Comey, could be seen as a political person at the Justice Department, and that he knew that even if he threatened to resign, there was no way that any president would let their FBI director resign over a matter of constitutionality like this.
Well, so picking up the story, after rushing to the hospital, James Comey says he ran up the stairs, you know, two at a time, to Ashcroft's room in the intensive care unit, found him to be very ill, somewhat disoriented. He tried talking to Ashcroft, and when he couldn't, once again, he turned to Mueller. Let's listen.
I went out in the hallway, spoke to Director Mueller by phone. He was on his way. I handed the phone to the head of the security detail, and Director Mueller instructed the FBI agents present not to allow me to be removed from the room under any circumstances.
This is extraordinary. You have the acting attorney general asking the director of the FBI to physically protect him.
To physically protect him from the U.S. Secret Service. That was the most bizarre moment of this. Andy Card and Alberto Gonzalez, when they arrived, they were going to have Secret Service protection.
And Andy Card was the White House chief of staff, and Alberto Gonzalez was White House counsel.
Yes. And Jim Comey was afraid that those Secret Service agents would remove him from the hospital room and allow Andy Card and Alberto Gonzalez to speak privately with Attorney General Ashcroft. And so that telephone call, I mean, that has to be one of the most surreal moments in modern U.S. government history, where you have the FBI director instructing these FBI agents who until that moment, you know, 7 p.m. on a weeknight in an empty hospital wing at George Washington Hospital, these agents probably thought they were on the quietest assignment they could ever have in their lives. And they get a telephone call from the FBI director saying that they should use force if necessary to resist the U.S. Secret Service at the orders of the White House Chief of Staff from removing the Deputy Attorney General from the room.
Amazing.
I mean, just an incredibly surreal moment.
Okay. So Mueller gets everybody to stand down. Card and Gonzalez are in the hospital room, and Gonzalez is asking this very ill John Ashcroft to reauthorize this controversial eavesdropping program. And here's what Comey says happened next.
Attorney General Ashcroft then stunned me. He lifted his head off the pillow and in very strong terms expressed his view of the matter, rich in both substance and fact, and then laid his head back down on the pillow, seemed spent, and said to them, "But that doesn't matter because I'm not the Attorney General. There is the Attorney General," and he pointed to me when I was just to his left. The two men did not acknowledge me. They turned and walked from the room.
So Comey seemed to win that round in the hospital room, but the next day the White House, the George W. Bush White House, told him they were reauthorizing the program without the approval of the Justice Department. How did Comey and Mueller react?
So Jim Comey met privately with President Bush and said that he was prepared to resign, and you should know that Bob Mueller is prepared to resign as well. And according to the version that we have heard, Bush's eyes go wide, and he immediately summons Bob Mueller. And then at the conclusion of his conversation with Bob Mueller, effectively says, let Jim make the changes to the program that he needs to make in order to make it legal. Mm. President Bush blinked, the White House blinked, and Jim Comey and Bob Mueller won the fight.
So they have been burnished, and that's the time we know of. You know, there may be others. Do you think, though, that Bob Mueller will be able to put that aside and do the work he needs to do on the Russia investigation? In other words, do you think that that experience is a conflict of interest?
I actually think that Bob Mueller might be the only person in America who could do this job. He exists on this incredibly short list of figures in Washington who are seen as entirely above politics and is going to turn in a report that is so thorough that it will remove any doubt that there could be any real bias.
Garrett Graff. Garrett, thank you.
My pleasure.